This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Larry O'Connor here on Mornings on the Mall alongside Jesse Jane Duff, United States Marine Corps, sitting in for Brian Wilson. Good to have you.
Good morning, motivators.
And joining us right now is Attorney General of the great state of Texas, Ken Paxton, who is at the center of a whole lot of decisions yesterday coming down from the Supreme Court. Thanks for joining us, Mr. Attorney General.
Hey, thanks for having me on this beautiful Friday.
Let's start with the immigration lawsuit. It was a 4-4 tie, which basically keeps in place the decision that you won, which repudiated the president's unconstitutional executive action on amnesty. But tell me whether you think that decision is safe right now, considering the presidential election coming up.
Well, obviously right now we're where we're at, and we're excited about it. It was a great win for us. We won at the Fifth Circuit, and so that left in place a preliminary injunction, which to get a preliminary injunction to stop the president's plan, we had to show that we would suffer irreparable harm and that we were likely to win on the merits. So when we go back to the trial court, we've got the wind at our back because the court's already said we're likely to win on the merits. So obviously this next election is going to decide a lot of things about our cases, whether the Constitution still matters, and whether we can keep presidential power in check as our founders intended, a couple hundred years ago.
One follow-up here quickly. There was also a decision that came out of the lower court that had to do with misconduct from the Justice Department. They had basically lied to the court, saying that they hadn't already gone forth and processed some people who were here illegally and granted them any level of benefits. The Justice Department is not complying with the judge on his remedies with regard to those lies. Where does that now stand, and how does the Supreme Court decision factor into that?
It's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how the judge handles that. Obviously, they not only lied to the court, but they misled us all through the process because we asked for our preliminary injunction based on when we were told by them that they were implementing the plan. So we wanted to stop it from its inception. Meanwhile, they actually applied this to over 100,000 people. It wasn't like they did it to 10 people. This was 100,000 people, and so it's going to be interesting to see how the court deals with it. Because they also, not only are they basically the judge is trying to force the Department of Justice to go through ethics training so that their lawyers don't do this in the future.
My goodness, ethics training. The irony of that. What is the reaction there in Texas? I mean, we're not down there. What's going on in the papers and the local news? Is this seen as an accomplishment for Texas? Are people celebrating? Or is there a split in Texas over some of these decisions?
Well, we don't have unanimity in any state, but I can say this. This is not just a big day for Texas. I think it's a big day not only for the 26 states involved in this, because if you think about it, it's pretty remarkable.
Very true.
That over a majority of the country is suing the United States government. So I think it's a victory for the entire country.
It is.
The separation of powers. This isn't just about immigration. This is about separation of powers. Our founders didn't trust government. They set up three branches of government, and this is an effort by the president to take away congressional power and move that legislative function into the presidential office. And, whatever president we have, whether it's Republican, Democrat, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, that we can't let that stand.
That's right. Yeah, I keep saying to my liberal friends who were in favor of this thing, I said, okay, well, what about a Republican president who just directs the IRS to ignore half of the tax code? You wouldn't want him to do that. You'd want that to go through Congress. It's the same principle, isn't it, Mr. Attorney General?
Absolutely. And I've told people over and over and over and over, if we have a Republican president that's doing the same thing, we will sue on that as well.
You
because
betcha.
Fundamentally, we have to keep the Constitution in place. If we allow this with one president, we establish precedent for future presidents to basically make up their own law. We end up with no separation of powers. We end up with no really representative government.
I want to ask you about the decision that's expected on Monday over the abortion law that was passed in Texas. You've been at the center of this decision as well, or this argument, I should say. There's a lot of misinformation out there in the press and in the media and from the left. and of course I'm being redundant there, with regard to what this law actually says. Before we hear all the spin before this decision comes down Monday, can you tell us in a thumbnail exactly what this law that was passed did and whether it was meant to curb the number of abortions in your state and make it hard for people to get abortions, or was it meant to make abortions safer?
So this was passed in 2013 while I was in the Senate. It was very clear we did basically three things. We banned abortion at 20 weeks. That part is not being sued on. The other two parts, which I thought were very reasonable, was it requires that abortion centers have the same standards as surgical centers, fairly reasonable, and second, that doctors who do abortion have to have admitting privileges at a hospital within 30 miles of where they do the abortion. So both of those are about women's health and taking care of women. And, you know, what the effect of that is that the abortion providers that have the resources will stay in business and the competition will sort itself out.
It's always fascinating to me how women's groups try to proclaim that it isn't about women, it's against women, when in reality, an abortion center's standards for medical practice should be up there. There are women that have died from this, and we've seen multiple injuries related to abortion, not only just with the female, but with also the children that may have, shouldn't have been aborted. So it's... You know, I have to, you know, not to be just pro-life on this, but I feel that...
It's okay to be pro-life on
this. Yes, but I mean, and, you know, to be fair to the courts, the fact is that when did women stop caring about the health of women?
Yeah. Well, Mr. Attorney General, given that, I mean, what was the constitutional, what was the jurisprudence involved in the opposition's argument here? I mean, what case law are they looking at to suggest that the state of Texas doesn't have the right to put some kind of medical regulations on a medical procedure?
Basically, they're arguing that we're putting some type of substantial burden on these women so that they cannot get an abortion. The reality is, in every urban center that had an abortion clinic, they'll still be an abortion center. They'll just be better, and they'll be more qualified to do the abortion. In places where there's not a large number of people, doctors can still do abortions without following these guidelines if they do under 50 a year. So if you're in a rural area, there's still a way to get an abortion without having to travel to a major metropolitan area. So, you know, it's really pretty ludicrous to argue that it's really going to have any impact at all on the ability of women to get an abortion if they want one. It'll just be safer for these women.
You have a pretty good understanding of how the arguments went down and what the questions were like. What's your hunch on how this comes down on Monday?
So, you know, I'm pretty sure that it's going to come down to Kennedy, just like the affirmative action case was 4-3, just like the immigration was 4-4. Whatever side Kennedy ends up on, it seems like that's the winning side. So... that's, I think, ultimately going to determine this case as well.
All right. We're going to have to leave it there, but it's good to have you, Mr. Attorney General of the State of Texas, Ken Paxton.
Thank you.
Always good to have
you,
sir.
Thank you.